we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to a new series of the news quiz, coming this week from the Pleasance Theatre at the Edinburgh Fringe. We start with a cutting from the South and West Wales free ads, read by Peter Donaldson.
Parachute, only used once. Didn't open. Small stain.
£100. Thanks to Richard Jones of Penarth for that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, on my right, Roy Hattersley and Steve Punt. And facing them on my left, Linda Smith and Jeremy Hardy. Roy, welcome back. Which world leader is drinking in the Last Chance Saloon?
This is the president of the Soviet Union. He's sacked one government and replaced it with a government which it was sacked to replace. I think that's the right way around. An unlikely event, I think, here in England. or even here in Scotland, is it?
2 points to Roy. In the wake of Russia's latest financial crisis, President Yeltsin has cleared out his second cabinet in 6 months. Now he's starting on the optics. Steve, who was accused of fiddling while the NHS burns?
Well, the only story I saw this week about the NHS was an extraordinary story, really, which was that apparently if you need an operation, a new hip or something like that, you have to wait, which is astonishing. I didn't know this, because this never happened before. You see, under the old Conservative government, what happened if you needed a new hip was you phoned the local hospital and 10 minutes later a limousine pulled up outside your house. And you were taken into hospital into the executive waiting suite with a free bar, and then your personal physician would come and fit you a new hip.
The Tories have said that they fiddled the waiting list figures, and Dobson has said, well, we're only using the method of fiddling that you used when you were in power. Because we have to stick to the fiddling limits that were set by the previous government. The Tories' method of getting rid of waiting lists was to close down the hospital with the waiting list inside it, of course.
I hope people will be clear that I'm dissociating myself from these attacks on New Labour, which I regard as shocking in the extreme.
Your entire income these days is earned by writing attacks on New Labour in various newspapers.
Not my entire income, a substantial part of my income.
Health Secretary Frank Dobson was accused by the Conservatives of fiddling the figures to produce a cut of 50,000 in NHS waiting lists, or roll calls of hope, as he's renamed them. 2 points to Steve. Linda, who'll soon be doling out their wisdom in a class of their own?
Oh, yes. This is this idea that the government's had to get the unemployed to work as classroom assistants. Now, I don't know what to think about this, because the Tories think it's a bad idea, so you think, oh, it's probably all right then. On the other hand, Tony Blair thinks it's a good idea, so you don't know what to think, really, for the best. So I'm not sure. It seems a bit arbitrary, doesn't it? Like, oh, we need more plasticine monitors and we can use the unemployed. But you think, well, there's all sorts of things we need, really. Why single out plasticine? We need footballers who can score penalties, and we need tennis players and jobs generally, really, you might narrow it down to.
I'm worried by it because it's being piloted in Wales, and generally if something is tried out on the Celts first, it's usually a very bad idea.
New Labour's plans under the New Deal are to make long-term unemployed teaching assistants. Labour says the fact that so many of these unemployed people have resigned themselves to a lifetime of poverty and despair means they'll be perfectly suited to teaching careers. 2 points to Linda. Jeremy, your piece of music. Havana, terrible time, and wishes he wasn't there.
Is it a cigar? Is it a Monica reference? Bill Clinton, he of the renowned aim and targeting skills, can't tell the difference between Pakistan and a blue dress. His favourite dalliance entertainment in the afternoon, because they didn't have much time, they couldn't smoke after sex, so she had to somehow incorporate the cigars into the romance, shall we say. She must have done a lot of pelvic floor exercises, I would think. But she used this cigar to do an impression of Michael Winner.
Well, I'm not even sure if it's a sexual act. I think it's just the only place in America you're still allowed to smoke.
President Clinton has gone on holiday to try and clear the air with his family. He says the cigar incident just proves that he's a worthy successor to JFK, since they both spent much of their time dreaming up new ways of wasting Cubans. The scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. We start round two with an advertisement for a holiday spotted in The Guardian.
The Edinburgh Festival is one of the foremost arts festivals in the world, and for 2 weeks each summer, Edinburgh is the focal point of the arts world. To keep costs as low as possible, our tour is based in Glasgow.
Thanks to Susan Bailey of Ealing for that. Roy, why is James Bond being accused of doming down?
Oh, because in the new Bond film, James Bond saves the Millennium Dome from being exploded out of existence. And the film is regarded as a tragedy.
I was watching the one with Timothy Dalton in the other day on the telly. He's not very good, was he? I thought he'd be more at home in Emmerdale. He was like, evil plan cannot possibly succeed without European subsidy.
Yes, the next James Bond movie is to have its thrilling climax in the Millennium Dome, the brainchild of Peter Mandelson, or Spin Doctor No. Robbie Coltrane is to play the evil fiend who wants to destroy the dome, though the idea that an overweight northerner with a penchant for fast cars might be out to get Mr. Mandelson has been dismissed as pure fantasy by John Prescott's office. Steve, who would like to be thought of as the queen of all our backbenchers?
Oh, and this is a rather horrible story, I thought. This is New Labour MP, one of Blair's babes, as they're inevitably named in the tabloids, and she made the mistake of saying that she identified with Princess Diana because her marriage broke up and she had eating disorders or something. And I thought that was the whole point about Princess Diana. I thought that was why she was so popular, is people identify with her and they think she's real and she's a friend of theirs. She was real and yet not real, do you know what I mean? And but in return for this, the Daily Mirror just pulled this woman to pieces and said, she thinks she's Diana, but Diana was tall and beautiful and rich and she's... Ugh. And
she did actually say that she realised the two ladies had so much in common when she saw the photograph of Princess Diana sitting alone outside the Taj Mahal, because she was photographed sitting alone outside the Northampton Town Hall.
But that's just a lifestyle thing, isn't it, really?
I think it is. I think you've got it. That's it exactly.
My life has paralleled that of the Duchess of Gloucester, because very few people know who she is.
Labour MP Helen Brinton said that there were uncanny coincidences between her life and that of Princess Diana. Just as she sat alone outside the Taj Mahal, Mrs. Brinton said, I once had to queue half an hour outside my local Indian takeaway. 2 points for Steve. Linda, listen to this. That was I Don't Remember by Peter Gabriel. Who was preparing for the royal premiere of Total Recall 2?
Oh, Prince Charles. He's apparently been having trouble with his memory. Very forgetful, Prince Charles. Well, he did forget to pay his taxes for 45 years. That's quite dotty, isn't it, really? So, yes, apparently he's having this mind expert help him improve his memory because he meets thousands of people every year and he can't remember their names. Which doesn't really seem to matter, because he's not going to meet them again, is he? They just file past. Is he going to get people coming up to him saying, come on, come on, you remember, I'll give you a clue. Maui dancer, 1987. Come on, would it help if I showed you my bum?
He has got a bad memory. He's forgotten to pick the kids up from school every day for years.
Doctors say that the onset of short-term memory loss in middle-aged men can result in them repeating things over and over again. Doctors say that the onset of short... 2 points to Linda. Jeremy, who's hoping to save the planet before he becomes a teenager?
What? Who's hoping to save the planet before he becomes a teenager? See, who's
you've,
10?
You've got short-term memory loss.
Tony Blair.
We know.
I don't know.
Roy.
We don't know his name, but we know what he's doing. He's a little boy who's lived up a tree for the last 2 years because his mother wants him to be the youngest environmentalist in the world. And he's actually saving Woodpole in two ways. A, it's stopping the tree being chopped down, and B, he can't read and write, so he won't need any books when he grows up.
11-year-old eco-warrior Matthew Williams, known by his ecological name as General Survival, was taken to court along with his mother, Lorraine, whose name is now Earth Goddess, by Epsom Council, representing Angry Stockbroker. Young Matthew doesn't go to school, but he is taught by, and this is true, fellow eco-warrior Nigel Veal, who despite pressure from Earth Goddess and General Survival, has refused to change his name to Nigel, but I occasionally eat fish. Living in a treehouse must seem like perfect life for an 11-year-old boy, but Matthew sometimes does get bored. Whenever this happens, he likes to go and play in the 3-bedroom bungalow with carport he's built at the bottom of the garden. And the scores at the end of round 2 are dramatically Jeremy and Linda 6 at Roy and Steve leaping into the lead with 10 points. And we start round 3 with a cutting from the Tamworth Herald.
Latest planning application submitted to Tamworth Borough Council, 118 Litchfield Street. Change of use from pet shop to Indian takeaway.
Thank you, Paul van der Volt, for that. Roy, which 5 who became 4 will soon become 6?
5 who became 4?
This is Spice Girls.
This is ventriloquism. I'm actually speaking. Have you? Yes, it's a Spice Girl.
Do you know them? No, they're a popular singing combo. Yep.
Let's see if this is a typical audience. One of them is going to marry David Beckham. Not a single boo. This is not a typical audience.
5 became 4 and then 2 of them are up the duff. I mean, it's blunt, but it's honest.
I think it's really nice. I mean, they've had their careers. They're getting all this flack in the papers. People say, oh, they're only doing it to get council flats.
Who's your favourite Spice Girl, Jeremy?
Oh, Melanie Brown's my favourite.
Yeah. Mine's Madda Jaffrey.
I'd be a bit worried if I was carrying David Beckham's baby when you feel it start kicking.
Two of the Spice Girls are soon to be hearing the patter of tiny feet. No, Beckham hasn't been sent off again, but Scary and Posh have decided that what they want is to have 2 new baby Spices. Victoria Adams and Mel Brown have joined the growing list of celebrities with swelling bellies, which include Melanie Blatt of All Saints and Paul Gascoigne of Middlesbrough. Posh Spice Victoria is already 3 months gone, so David Beckham must have done to her what he subsequently did to England's chances of winning the World Cup. Are there any Scots in today? Really?
Are there any Scots in Edinburgh?
I don't know what the festival's coming to.
You meet all these people in Edinburgh and say, oh, yes, I'm a Scot, you know. Yeah, yes. You probably tell from my brogue, yes, yes. The very bluff takers as you find us kind of millionaires here in Scotland.
I needed the toilet at the airport yesterday. I didn't know whether to go to the one with the man in the kilt or the woman in slacks.
I was once fly posting many years ago for a show that I was in in 1984 in Edinburgh, and a group of really meaty-looking, heavy-looking thugs came up to us, and I'm standing there, a little Englishman, quaking with a big bucket of wallpaper paste and a poster with my face on it. And these big, meaty, evil-looking boneheads came up and said, I hope you realise that's against Edinburgh Bay laws.
Steve, listen to this music. Steve, who would really prefer it if we stopped telling them to break a leg?
Oh, yeah, this is, it's about actors. It's a very weird story, because, you know, they publish these lists in the papers of the most dangerous professions in order, and normally top is sort of freelance asbestos cutter or something, and then it goes all the way down to accountant at the bottom. And and it turns out, rather unexpectedly, that apparently acting is a surprisingly dangerous profession to be in, and actors... often get hurt, largely, of course, because 90% of them are out of work at any one time, so they're having to work freelance as asbestos cutters. But an apparently very common injury is that they fall off the stage. It quite frequently happens, because the lights are very bright and you can't see the edge of the stage. But the people, I think, one, it's another instance where the people you really feel for are the NHS staff, again, because they're the ones that have to deal with it. And that's the last thing you want on a Saturday night. If you're on a long shift in casualty and you've got people horribly hurt and being abusive, and then the door opens and in comes some bloke going, I bleed, I bleed. Physician, physician, hie thee hither and list unto me. As I fell, I plunged into the abyss of Rose to C, scattering quality streets and programmes as I fell.
Equity said that while they were concerned so many of their members were ending up in casualty, they were more worried about the ones in Heartburn Hotel and the bill. Government stepped in quickly after Starlight Express was singled out for particular criticism, moving it second in their league table of worst-performing train companies behind Virgin Rail. Linda, which cyborg scientist has got a smart card up his sleeves?
This is the story of this man who's put a silicon chip in his arm. And he's just got this chip in his... And it's sort of... what else? It's a bit like a public school education. All doors open for him now. in the papers, they're getting excited, saying, oh, it's marvellous. Yes, an end to turning the key misery now. It just does all these things. But I don't know what happens when, you know, because he just sort of aims his arm at the door and it opens. So I suppose when he comes home drunk of a night, flailing his arms about, all the doors in the close are flapping like crazy. Yeah, so it's this sort of remote control without the aerobic effect, really.
Cybernetics Professor Kevin Warwick has had a super intelligent silicon chip sewn into his arm. He claimed the chip would be used exactly the same way as a cash card, though he conceded people might have difficulty getting their arms into that little slot in the machine. The suggestion is that the new chips could lead to the creation of a race of mindless automata, completely obedient to their master's every whim, were confirmed when New Labour placed an order for 419. Jeremy, whose mountain of cash has received a welcome in the valleys?
It's what's name? Anthony Hopkins has given £1 million to Mount Snowdon. I don't know why. He's opened a mountain sanctuary. All these poor, worn-out mountains that have spent years being trodden on by people in big, thick boots and having helicopters landing on them to rescue the people in the big, thick boots who've got lost. And so he's doing this Adopt a Mountain scheme where you give the mountain £1 million and then it writes to you once a year and tells you how it... How it's getting on.
The Principality has a history of its famous sons doing their bit for the country. Dylan Thomas gave key manuscripts to Welsh colleges, Tom Jones poured money back into his hometown of Pontypridd, and Max Boyce went to live in America. So the scores at the end of round three are Linda and Jeremy 10, but Roy and Steve still in the lead with 14 points. And before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Tunbridge Courier.
Tunbridge Tinnitus Club. Meetings are held once a month at the old fire station with either a guest speaker or entertainment. Last month, the entertainment was handbell ringers.
Thanks to Dennis Keast of Tunbridge. Roy, listen to this music. Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. Roy, who is Britain's most careful driver?
This is a gentleman of 85 who was arrested and is to be prosecuted for driving at 1 mile an hour in his pickup truck, which he had taken out of the garage to buy food for his chickens. And he was apprehended for moving at this speed down the road, and he said, after caution by the police, I will be all right when I get my spectacles back. I think he's even now umpiring the test match against Sri Lanka.
83-year-old Douglas Illingsworth from Birdwell near Barnsley was banned from driving after being spotted travelling down a country lane at 1 mile an hour. In his defence, he claimed to have forgotten he wasn't driving down Princes Street during rush hour. At one point, he was driving so slowly, he was overtaken by Damon Hill. Magistrates in Barnsley have banned him for 6 months and ordered him to take an eye test. If he fails that, he'll never drive again, but will be offered a job on BBC's Changing Rooms. Two points to Roy. Steve, which new B&B holiday promises you'll be able to dictate things just as you like them?
It's about Romania, isn't it? One of the many Eastern Bloc countries now enjoying the joys of capitalism. And a plan that they've come up with is for expensive holidays. You fly over to Romania, and basically you then live the life of Ceausescu for a fortnight. You go over there, you get driven around in his limo, you stay in his old palace, you drink his wine from his extensive cellar, and then at the end of the fortnight they shoot you. I do really like the idea of a holiday where you can be a world leader for a fortnight, but I wouldn't choose Romania. I wouldn't choose just... I mean, I'd much rather go on a Boris Yeltsin break.
The Bill Clinton break would be fun, wouldn't it?
The Bill Clinton break was fantastic.
I went to Romania just after the revolution on a delegation, and an American senator insisted that we saw Ceausescu's son in prison because Ceausescu's son had knocked down the synagogue. And the senator attacked him verbally. And I swear to you, Ceausescu's son said to him, I want to make clear, Mr. Senator, that knocking down the synagogue was in no way a suggestion of anti-Semitism. I knocked down all the churches as well.
Linda, whose Canadian courtship was judged harshly?
This is this woman in Canada, a juror in some case. I think quite a nasty case, actually. I think this the defendant was sort of done for violent crimes. And she got off with him. She was on the jury and she got off with him. So I imagine the jury consultations weren't exactly like 12 angry men. They were all saying, well, I don't know. I think this man looks guilty. I don't know. I'm sure. I'm not convinced by the evidence. I think he looks innocent. And she's saying, do you think he likes me? Do you think he was looking at me or the judge? Oh, why would he bother with a person like me? I'm just one of 12 and he's the defendant.
Exactly right. Juror Gillian Guess was jailed for having an affair with a defendant during a trial in Vancouver. The judge said his suspicions were first raised when, after he asked the jury if their decision to acquit was unanimous, he received the reply, yes, yes, oh yes. After he had described Ms. Guess as a narcissistic, self-obsessed attention seeker, Anglia TV immediately offered her the Vanessa Feltz slot. 2 points to Linda. Jeremy, who's paying out $3 million to prove every dog can have more than one day?
This is the pet man. Man with a pet dog who's having it cloned. So he's got one for each shin, presumably. I suppose it gets rid of the problem of what to tell your kid when the pet dies. You've got a spare lined up.
Oh, that's saves all those tragic little trips down the pet shop with a dead goldfish in your pocket, saying, can you match this? He's called Flipper, he likes antics.
The creation of the first clone, Dolly the Sheep, took 227 attempts and 27 failed pregnancies, a figure surpassed only by Shula Archer. And before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Roy.
This is from the London Evening Standard. Police are investigating reports that a woman tourist was indecently assaulted by a mime artist in Bournemouth last night. A police spokesman said that if arrested, the suspect will have the right to remain silent.
Right. It's from the Daily Mail. Pensioner Rosemary Corkin thought that a talkative parrot would be the perfect companion to keep her calm and ease her heart condition. But the plan backfired when William, the Amazon Blue, proved to be so traumatised by bitter quarrels between his previous owners that he insisted on reenacting them at top volume twice a day. On his first day in his new home, William revealed his turbulent past by screaming at the top of his voice, Don, you're a damned liar! Liar! Liar!
Linda.
I've got this cutting from a chemist. Murray's. 10% off for all senior citizens every Thursday. Excludes NHS, medicines and nappies.
Jerem.
This is a cutting from the Pharmaceutical Journal, which has just been bombed by President Clinton. You can't be too careful. And it's sent in by Mrs. B. Rose of Sutton Coldfield, where you want to be reading up on pharmaceuticals, really. And this bit says, urged on by the radio doctor, great attention was paid to the motility of the alimentary canal, which boosted sales of Epsom and Glauber's salt, cenopods and Beecham pills, often in penny twists. Many of the local population had evacuated from a coast, which was considered under daily threat of invasion from the Germans.
Thank you all. And now let's look at the final score, which is Jeremy and Linda with a creditable 15, but Roy and Steve with this week's winning 18 points. Before we leave you, here's a letter seen in a Hampshire paper by Liz Tirard of Gosport.
I must add my voice to those who object to the naked bathers on the eastern section of Eastney Beach. Walking with my 5-year-old granddaughter, I was quite shocked at the sight of naked male bodies sprawled across the shingle. Quite obviously, they delighted in showing off their private parts, and my granddaughter, being of an impressionable age, I had to tell her these men were fishing with special rods.
And with that, goodbye. Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Roy Hattersley, Linda Smith and Steve Punt. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.